Hey everybody, good morning and welcome. Beautiful morning, hot morning, warm morning, whatever kind of morning it is. It's a good morning for gardening across the great state of Texas here in the middle of the fall. I know fall just arrived officially not too many weeks ago, but oh my goodness gracious, it is a great time for gardening. Good time for planting new trees and shrubs. Great time for finishing up your transplanting of perennials, cleaning up the annuals beds, and sometime in the next week or so, putting out the pansies and getting everything ready for the cool weather ahead. Give me a call, won't you please? I know we have a lot of college football going on, as much as is available this odd year. I know we have a lot of high school football being replayed on our affiliate stations. We have about 30 some stations that carry my program now, and I'm grateful for that. Border to border, coast to coast. Well, we don't have a coast. Red River to coast. Yeah. So give me a call toll free right now. I really need your calls. 888-256-1080. Jared Taylor is ready to take the calls, answer the phone. Very amiable soul, and he'll get you ready for the air. And I'm painless. I'm not going to hurt you. And we'll get you right back out and among them. If you're out traveling, just to get to a safe spot to call. If you're out working in the yard, sit down and take a sip of water and give us a call. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. And let's talk about the plants at your place, whether it's your lawn and it's doing odd things, whether it's your shade trees that has some brown leaves on them. That's fairly normal in this abnormal year, whatever it is. So no need to call on that one, probably. You just need to water them and just let them go ahead and drop those leaves. That's going to happen. Whatever it is, let's talk about it. If you're wondering how to re-landscape your yard for next year, what can be planted now, what shouldn't be planted now, we can talk about that. If you're talking about a greenhouse, maybe this is the year you're going to build a greenhouse and enjoy gardening 52 weeks out of the year. Oh my goodness, you're going to love that. Let's talk about it. I've had a greenhouse just almost all of my life. I just can't imagine going through a winter time without a greenhouse. I love having a greenhouse to be in during the cold months. So 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. What do you do toward the middle of October? You start planting your spring flowering bulbs. Daffodils and narcissus and jonquils can be planted now. You plant them right away. Same with grape hyacinths. Not so much with Dutch hyacinths and tulips. Those need pre-chilling. And what that means is, I think I just bumped my microphone, forgive me. What that means is you need to put them in the refrigerator for a minimum of 45 days at 45 degrees. So that means they sit in there with the lettuce and the butter and the other things that you have at 45 degrees, the milk. They sit there until the last 2 weeks of December. And then you can plant them into the ground. By then the soil has cooled down. That gives them the artificial winter that they need. We don't get cold enough in most of Texas to chill these, even in the panhandle. It can be warm in the fall, and that kind of messes them up. They don't bloom properly. If you just put them in the ground without the pre-chilling, they will bloom, but they'll bloom at a height of maybe 2 or 3 inches. And that's not what you want with tulips. And not what you want with hyacinths. So you need to give them that pre-chilling, and then you can plant them out in late December. 45 days minimum at 45 degrees. If you put them in there now, you'll get more than 45 days, and that's fine. Don't plant them in late November, for example, just because they've had their 45 days, because if the soil is still very warm, you will reverse the effect of the pre-chilling. So that's what you do with those. One tip on, and you treat tulips pretty much as annuals. They do not come back and rebloom. So you use those in a mass planting, pretty much as annuals, in a really prime spot in your landscape. Maybe it's right by the front door. Maybe it's in a big patio pot or something. There are some species tulips, the smaller flowering types that you can plant that will establish and come back year after year. And that would be absolutely fine. And then as far as daffodils and narcissus and jonquils, those Some of them will rebloom well for you. In other words, meaning that they establish and come back year after year. They don't bloom a second time in the same year, but they will rebloom for many years, some types. Other types bloom one time and then you get nothing but leaves after that. Let me tell you how to tell the difference. I'm going to do it by varieties and by types. The large flowering, late flowering types like King Alfred and Unsurpassable and Mount Hood are one-time bloomers. You plant those, they'll be beautiful, and then you'll not see them bloom again. So I tend to avoid those pretty much entirely. They're beautiful that first time, but oh goodness, then you get nothing but leaves. They look like liriope for the springtime. Then they die, and you say, "Well, where were the blooms?" That was disappointing. However, if you go with varieties like Carlton, which is a beautiful yellow, golden yellow, and almost as big as King Alfred, it's earlier. It's an early one, big, beautiful yellow. And then Ice Follies, it's a lovely white. Those things will establish and they multiply and they bloom and bloom year after year and get better and better. And there are a lot of others. So, but just to go with the types. You want to look at one that says repeats or naturalizes. Those are the terms that you're looking for with daffodils. Earlier flowering and smaller flowering types generally are the ones that tend to rebloom for you. Grape hyacinths will establish and rebloom and spread, sometimes where you don't want them, but that's never been a problem for me. I put them in a place where I want them to just establish and kind of take over a bed, and I have borders that keep them from getting out beyond. What else? If you have daylilies, if you have iris, you need to finish up the digging and transplanting of those. That's very important to you. I'm having some microphone problems today. I'll be very candid. I have double vision this weekend, and I've covered my left eye with a piece of fabric so that it's out of action, and that fabric is drifting on me, and it gets to where it about falls down. When I reach to put it back up, I hit my microphone. So forgive me for that. Let's take our first break. We'll get the program underway. We have Nancy in Amarillo will be our first call. I think you could be the second call. In any event, we have a line open for you. It's 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Call right now, won't you please? Let's have a fun time with this program today. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Well, I am breaking the news of a very special offer for you, and I hope you'll take advantage of this. Every year I do something very special like this, and this one is really outstanding. It is the perfect gift that will be used and remembered for years. It's Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening with my special holiday offer. If you want it for Christmas, I'm going to suggest you get it ordered very early. I know that I have trouble getting everything signed. You heard that back in the spring when I got a couple weeks behind on signing. And you also have heard that the delivery services are having trouble getting enough people. So here is my offer to you. My book, 344 pages, 840 of my best photographs, hardback, printed on high quality paper. And by the way, I sign every copy as it sells. This is the book that covers everything about outdoor gardening for every county in Texas. 11 chapters covering lawns and landscapes, flowers, fruit and vegetables. Chapter 2 specifically is a 48-page calendar that outlines everything you need to do, when you need to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. The book is only $34.95 plus tax and postage, and if you buy one book, that's the price. But the second and third book ship to the same mailing address, just $30 each. So there is your chance to save $5 a book. That's the lowest price I'm going to offer on this, and it's your chance to get the books to give as gifts. It's not in stores, it's not on Amazon. Your satisfaction is completely guaranteed, or I'll give a full refund. 56,000 copies sold so far, not one request for a refund so far. That includes tax and postage. The books are shipped to the same address. Here's how you order, since it's not in stores and not on Amazon. Order from my website, neilsperry.com. That's the better way, or you can call my office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, at 800-752-GARDEN. grow. 800-752-4769. Order soon to ensure holiday delivery. Again, I want to recommend that you order it from my website right now. That's at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. You can see all the details of the book right there. neilsperry.com. This is a much better book than the old cowboy boot book from 30 years ago. The 1930s were difficult times for America. The country was in the Great Depression. Jobs were scarce. Hopes remained high, though. It was during that time that Mueller started making metal products. Now, more than 90 years later, the Mueller name is known across the South as having the finest in quality steel and workmanship. Mueller and its products, they understand what it means to weather the storm. A Mueller metal roof is made to last and protect you and your most valued possessions from the harsh weather that we're accustomed to here in Texas. A Mueller metal roof can endure the intense sun, the heavy rain, the hail, and the snowstorms for years to come. That's much longer than a conventional roof. If you want peace of mind for the future, choose a metal roof for your home, a roof that's made by Mueller. Visit MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com. You can learn more and find a location near you. You'll see why a Mueller metal roof is the best thing to put over your head. Give them a call, won't you please? That's 877-2-MUELLER, 877-268-3553, or stop by one of their 33 locations. Mueller, they're made in America, and they're made to last. It's MuellerInc.com. I'll have more after this message. All right, Kelly, thank you much. Kelly Robinson there, longtime voice of the Texas State Radio Network. Thank you. Let me give you the phone number again, and why don't you take one of those last remaining lines, 888-256-1080. Don't be telling me, hey, I never can get through on your program, because I know you can if you call right now. Just don't delay. 888-256-1080. Nancy in Amarillo, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Yes.
We have started a wildflower meadow on about a quarter of an acre, and we had success for flowers blooming in a third of it. And our question is, should we have fresh topsoil delivered this fall and rebroadcast new seed for spring flowers?
Well, you're kind of late to try that. I don't know about the topsoil. Let's deal with the two questions. Let's deal with the question you ask and then the question I introduced to the conversation. If your soil is really thin and really poor, then adding some soil might be of benefit. But if you look around as you drive Texas and you drive through other areas and look at wildflowers, Nancy, they very often are growing in pretty bad soil. That's how they get their chance to succeed. Lots of times when the soil is better, grasses end up growing and crowding out the wildflowers. So I don't know that I would necessarily rush to improve the soil a whole lot. That part that where the wildflowers are doing better for you, is it because the soil is better or because there might be a little more irrigation there, a little more water?
It sits on top of our anaerobic leach field for the
Well, there you go. You just need a bigger leach field.
The ground in the area is a lot of caligi, and we have the Tahoka daisy and the golden thread grow well, and we have blanket flower that grew back. So,
I'll bet those are pretty.
Yeah.
I don't think that's, I'll bet that's not a soil issue. I'll bet that's more the moisture issue. As far as planting the seed, you'd want to have those seeds planted by late August, I would think. I think you're kind of late. The reason being, they need to establish in the fall, and by the time you get all this done, fall is going to be gone. You've had snow, haven't you, almost? And so it's warm now, but it's not going to stay warm much longer. So I think probably your best plan would be to try. There may be some seed there that you'd be surprised to find. already, and if there's a way to get moisture and nurture that the other two-thirds of that area a little bit more over the next 5 months, you might be surprised what will come. And then if you need to supplement the seed, you could do that for 2021.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call very, very much. So, if you've not lived in Amarillo, it is a challenge, and people who succeed with gardening in Amarillo deserve medallions around their necks because it is difficult. It's a very different climate. As you go north out of Lubbock and get to Amarillo, it really is a different world, and I rejoice. I have given talks in Amarillo, and it's fun to visit with people who love gardening. And so more power to them. And sounds like she's doing great. So, and I love having Amarillo as an affiliate. If I can help you with a garden question, please give me a call right now. I really want to hear from you. Each fall, it becomes for about 2 months, it becomes difficult to get calls because people are very busy. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, a lot of our affiliates drop away for a month or so while they're doing high school football or college football. They have obligations with their network, well, with their local teams and other things. And so I get that. I understand that. I am a lowly garden guy, and I understand that. No offense. I've done this 43 years, and so I'm used to it. I'm also a grandfather. I'm used to being second fiddle, no problem. 888-2, I take that and smile as I say it. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Give us a call right now, won't you, please? A lot of people are asking about fertilizing their lawn. If you're going to do that, you need to do it this weekend. It's the end of the run, as far as I'm concerned. Unless you're in deep South Texas, we do have Corpus Christi and Victoria, Bryan College Station on our list of affiliates. Certainly for Corpus Christi and Victoria, it would not be too late, but it's pretty late for most of the rest of you as listeners. Get it done right away if you can. If you are seeing non-grassy weeds in your lawn, this would be I'm seeing dichondra really springing up in where I live in North Central Texas. A lot of dichondra coming along and a lot of other broadleafed weeds starting to grow in turf grass. These are the cool season broadleafed weeds. It's not things that have been out there all summer. It's things that are going to be really plaguing the lawns during the winter time. And if that's the case, then go ahead and treat them with a 2,4-D based broadleafed weed killer. It'll be in the fine print on the back of the container, or maybe down at the bottom of the label. It'll say 2,4-D, and it probably will be a long chemical name that begins with D. But your local independent retail garden center, or your local hardware store or feed store, local people who understand local conditions will be able to help you, and they'll show you and they can explain how to apply them. I generally prefer to apply broadleafed weed killers with a pump sprayer, a tank sprayer, 2 gallon tank sprayer, where I can direct it right down onto the weeds, and I can be very specific as to which weeds, which plants get sprayed and where I how I direct it. For example, if you have a little bit of a breeze, 5 or 6 miles an hour, and you have desirable plants. Let's just say you have a perennial garden and you have weeds that are coming up toward it, maybe 5 feet away. You can stand with your back to the perennials and use a pump sprayer down close to the ground and spray away from the perennials and not have any problem, as long as the wind's not coming in into your face that way. So those are some techniques you can do with a tank sprayer that you cannot use if you have a hose-end sprayer. It's a lot more difficult. Plus, they use a lot more active ingredient. I can be much more precise with a pump sprayer. Once you use a pump sprayer for broadleafed weed killer, you should never use it again for any kind of insecticide or fungicide because there is always residue left behind. So anyway, you might want to take a Sharpie and mark it, or a permanent marker of some sort, and mark it that it's for broadleafed weed killers only. We'll come across some other general things, but again, give me a call if you'd like to. This would be the time to call, 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Call right now, 888-256-1080. Neil Sperry's eGardens is my free electronic newsletter. It comes from my computer, directly to your email. Whether you get your email on your computer or on a portable device of some sort, eGardens comes just a little after 6 p.m. every Thursday. I spend a day to a day and a half a week working on eGardens each week. We send out 52 of them a year, and that's how many emails you'll get from me, 52. I don't spam you, I don't send you special offers because you're a subscriber, and I certainly don't give or sell your email address to anybody else. So you don't have to worry about getting unwanted emails. It comes very predictably right there at 6:02, 6:03 p.m. through Constant Contact. And I'm very happy with eGardens. I write almost all of the content of it. Diane Sitton does wonderful stories, one a month, and Stephen Chambly does one a month. Those are my two guest authors. Diane just did a really great story on pumpkins, and Stephen will be writing this upcoming week, and we never know what Stephen's going to write about. That's what makes his story so much fun. If you want to see what eGardens looks like, take a look at my website. That's where you sign up for it. You have to subscribe. We can't do that for you. It's not a thing where you call and ask to be added to the list. You have to do that yourself at neilsperry.com. I mean, it's an electronic newsletter that comes by email, and that implies that you have a computer and or some kind of electronic device, and so you can sign up at neilsperry.com, and that's where you can also see the most recent issue of eGardens. Each issue contains a story on a featured plant of the week, a featured question of the week, and gardening this weekend, where I outline the things you need to be doing in that particular weekend. That's Neil Sperry's eGardens. Take a look at it. Sign up for it at Neil Sperry, NEILSPERRY.com. I'll have more after these messages. Thank you, Kelly, very, very much. And do give us a call, won't you please? 888-256-1080. And that is for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. If I can help you with any kind of a landscape design question, any kind of a lawn issue that's going on, there's a lot of brown patch in Texas lawns. If you want to do a search on Texas A&M's website and find the most current information on brown patch, oh, goodness, old habits are hard to break. They are now calling it large patch. Why? I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, not my place to critique. They're smarter than I am by far. But anyway, large patch or brown patch is a fungal disease that attacks the blade. I'm sticking with brown patch for a while because my cohorts in horticulture, not the agronomy people, the turf people, are as well. I asked a couple of them, am I the only guy out here who hasn't changed this nomenclature? And they said, no, we're sticking with this. It was kind of defiantly. Anyway, you can identify it as round patches in your St. Augustine primarily. It will attack fescue and it will attack zoysia, not so much Bermuda. But you'll have these round patches in the grass that look like you took the old metal garbage can lids, and you put them down. You put one down on top of the grass, and the grass underneath just singed. You pick it up an hour later after the sun has superheated it, and the blades are singed. And when you now, that's the end of that example. In the case of brown patch, when you pull on the blades, they come loose from the runners very easily. They just come up like they are rotted right at their bases, which they are. That's where the fungus attacks, right where they attach to the runners. And you can see the decay right there. A foot away, the grass is green and happy and life is wonderful. And then 18, 24 inches away, there's another patch and another patch. And they begin to enlarge and coalesce. And suddenly you realize the whole lawn is impacted to some degree or another. Brown patch is not the worst disease in the world. Now, in saying that, I don't want to give you a pass on treating for it because it will weaken the grass a great deal. And if winter is especially severe, and if you're in one of the if you're in the northern half of the state, you could see cold damage to St. Augustine that you wouldn't need to have. But if you want to keep your lawn looking its best, you will treat at the very first evidence of brown patch. You can see brown patch coming about a week before it gets really bad, and you can stop it before it gets really bad. And the product to use is azoxystrobin, Azoxystrobin, azoxystrobin. That is the very same material that I have mentioned for 2 years now for take-all root rot on St. Augustine, and this year for gray leaf spot, and also now for brown patch. It covers all three of those diseases of St. Augustine, and it is sold, as far as I know, the only consumer-level product that contains that is Scott's Disease X. So I just need to tell you, and I'm not doing this as a promotion for a Scott's product. I'm just saying it's the only product that contains it, and as soon as there is a second or a third, I will either switch to just saying azoxystrobin, or I'll mention all three of them. But right now, that's the only one that contains it. And hardware stores and retail garden centers, places of that sort, will have that product or have had it. Don't know if they will this late in the season. Hopefully they will. That's brown patch, so you are going to be seeing that at this time. Other things you need to be thinking about in your lawn, like I mentioned, it's definitely time for the last feeding. You're about out of time for the last feeding. That's, I think, a better way to phrase it. It is also it's also time to tidy up your perennial garden. Any old stalks of flowers or seed heads, things of that sort, you can trim them off. If you have plants that are not completely brown but that don't look too good, you can tidy them up, prune off anything that's unsightly. And if you have green leaves left, leave them until the first frost. I think of like hardy hibiscus. They may not have turned completely brown. It's okay to prune them back halfway, then come back after the first freeze, prune them all the way. Or other plants that haven't completely. Cannas would be another example. Their tops of their plants may look really ragged. Let's prune them back a ways, but leave the green tissue there until the first frost kills it back. Once your mums have finished blooming, you can prune them back a bit, maybe halfway or two-thirds. You need to know with chrysanthemums that the plants, the new growth for next year, will be those little shoots that are coming up around the bases down near the ground. Those will be the new plants for next year. And so after the first freeze, all of that top growth that had flowers on it this year will die, and those new shoots will remain green. And so you'll end up pruning all of the big heavy growth at the top that's had flowers on it. You'll prune that back to maybe 2 inches from the ground and leave the shoots down at the ground for next year. I leave a little bit of the stem of this year's growth just to mark where the new growth will be and where it is, so I can see it easily in the winter. I won't step on it or do anything to damage it. So those are things you do in the perennial garden. There's a lot to do this time of year and a lot that we can talk about. Again, our phone number, if you'd like to call, 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. 888-256-1080. My website is neilsperry.com. You've heard me refer to it several times in this morning's program. It is where you go if you'd like to buy your copy of the latest book that I have out there. It's the only place that that book is sold. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. This is the book that is features the calendar, the 48-page calendar, chapter 2, that has all of the details of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. That's on my website. 1001 Most Asked Questions is on the website. That's a huge part of my website. Huge. You'll also find archived information on rose rosette virus. That's a disease that has just been so brutal to roses in the Dallas-Fort Worth area over the last decade. It is now becoming a problem in many parts of Texas. And you'll also be able to sign up for Neil Sperry's eGardens. That's my free electronic newsletter that goes out every Thursday evening after 6 p.m. All of that and a whole lot more at neilsperry.com. I hope you'll go there and take a look around. You do have to be able to spell my name to get there, and so let me do that for you. It's neilsperry.com. NeilSperry.com. Take a look. I think you'll enjoy it. I'll be back with more after these two messages. All right, Kelly, let's go back to the phone lines. And Kelly is correct. If you'd like to call, we'd love to hear from you. 888-256-1080. We go to Derry in La Mesa. Derry, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Yes, sir. How can I help?
Long time no talk to you. I listen to your program every Saturday, though, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
I just have a real simple question for you. Will my petunias and black-eyed Susans reseed themselves, or will I need to reseed them next spring?
It is possible that either, both could reseed. There are reseeding petunias. They are old inbred petunias that have been in neighborhoods. You'll see them. Probably people in La Mesa have them in some of the older neighborhoods. They tend to be taller. I'm going to describe them to you, and you may recognize what I'm describing. They'll very often be in flower beds where they're growing in with larkspurs and what else often is with them, old iris plantings, things of that sort, and they will be a little taller than you're used to seeing. They tend not to sprawl on top of the ground as much. They will be white and lavender and sometimes pale pink. Their flowers are about two-thirds the size of the ones that we have as hybrids, but they will definitely be taller. So, you know, up to maybe a foot taller.
Let me tell you which variety I have. I ordered them from Fredericksburg from Wild Seed Farms, and they're Laura Bush petunias. Some of them were purple and some of them were light pink, and they grow, a foot and a half or so tall.
Good friend of mine was involved in hybridizing that and selecting that. I do not believe that is inbred. I don't know that it will come true by reseeding, but I would certainly leave them there. Let the seed fall. It's tiny, tiny seed. They were planted last spring. Is that correct? Or to bloom last spring?
Yes, I planted them the first day of May.
All right. And did they bloom for you this year?
Oh, yes, they've been beautiful.
All right, then they will reseed, have reseeded freely, and I would wait and see what happens. Your question is fabulous, and if I had quick contact with the folks who did the hybridizing, I would ask them, but it takes several days for me to get word back. Jerry is not the fastest guy to reply, but I don't think that those are... I don't know that those will come true from seed, but it will be a really pretty one. That's a lovely selection. It may very well, because Jerry's working out in a field with his blue bonnets and other things, and I think there's a good likelihood that will. If you're on Facebook, if you want to pose that question to me on Facebook, I will follow through and find out for you.
Well, I don't have a computer. I'm an old guy, and all I have is
that's not a problem.
Telephone.
Not a problem. The black-eyed Susan, did you get that from Wild Seed Farms also?
No, they came in a different seed packet.
All right. If they were black-eyed Susan wildflower seeds, they definitely will come back. Gloriosa daisies are black-eyed Susans that are hybrids that will not come back as much, but some of them are perennials like Goldsturm. The selection that is so pretty as a perennial Goldsturm Gloriosa daisy is a black-eyed Susan. So, but if you bought them as wildflowers, then they will come back.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you.
I'd leave the Laura Bush petunias right in place And I'll bet you we'll get some really pretty ones back. I appreciate your call.
Thank you, Neil.
Have a great one. Thanks for listening. All right. All righty. And that was a selection introduced by the Aggie Horticulture people in conjunction with, I think Greg Grant had a hand in that one too. I'll do some looking. I don't have a long break ahead of me, so I can't do it on air. But anyway, it's been 15 or 20 years. Neil Sprey's Lone Star Gardening, the special holiday offer, is now underway for you, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. If you have not seen my book, then it's a little harder for you to know, but a lot of people have bought my book, 56,000 of you, to be candid, and this is a chance for you to give it as a gift. It's the perfect gift. It'll be used and remembered by others for years and years. I think it's going to be the go-to gardening reference. People are telling me already that it has become that for them. 344 pages, 840 of my best photographs. It is a hardback. It was printed on high-quality paper. Each printing is done by Clear Visions Printing Press in San Antonio. And it's bound by Universal Bookbindery, right downtown San Antonio. That company's about 90 years old. It's a historic building. I've been to both of these, and I wanted to make sure that this book was the perfect book, the one I always wanted to have for you. I sign every copy as it sells. It covers everything about outdoor gardening in Texas. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening. Chapter 2 is what people tell me pays for this book. It is the calendar of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants you're trying to grow. Chapter 3 is trees. Chapter 4 is shrubs, and then we have vines and ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. It's all there for you in comprehensive chapters. This is the special offer for you now that I'm breaking to you today. It's only $34.95 plus tax and postage. That's the regular price. But the second and third books that you buy to use as gifts are only $30 each. The book is not in stores, and it's not on Amazon. Now, that is for books that are sent to the same mailing address. I have extra boxes, large boxes. My wife and I are the mailing crew. It's all done right here in our house, right down the hall in our dining room. These books are sitting, waiting to be signed and put in boxes. I'll be doing that tomorrow afternoon. 56,000 copies sold so far. Not one request for refund, but I'll refund if you're unhappy for any reason. Just $30 for the second and third copies, $34.95 plus tax and postage. Order it from my website, neilsperry.com. Order it right now. That is the best way for you to get it because it's not in stores and not on Amazon. If you just don't order online, you can order it by calling my office Monday through Friday, business hours. 800-752-GROW. That's 800-752-4769. Order soon to ensure holiday delivery. Again, the better way is at Neil Sperry, NEILSPERRY.com. Why should you pay every month for a temporary storage facility when you can own your own genuine Mueller building? Mueller's backyard buildings are easy to assemble, affordable, and they offer a permanent storage solution right in your own backyard. With a variety of sizes available and more than 30 colors to choose from, their backyard building kits complement any home or landscape. And if your equipment requires even more storage space, Mueller's Standard Series buildings are ready to go to work for you. This is a company that's 90 years old, and they are the best buildings. These are permanent buildings. These are beautiful buildings. These are just fabulous buildings, and I am honored and lucky to have Mueller as my advertiser. From workshops to big barns, these pre-engineered, bolt-together buildings, permanent buildings, come in a variety of size and color options. You can also visit them online at MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, to get a free customized building estimate. And while you're there, click on their color selector tool to make choosing the perfect combination of colors an easy decision. To find out more about Mueller Steel Buildings, MUELLER, and Mueller Metal Roofing, call 877-2 Mueller, 877-268-3553, or visit them at MuellerInc.com. Mueller, Mueller Buildings. I'll have more after this. All right, thank you, Kelly, and we are right up against the end of the program. I have enjoyed this very, very much. I thank you for tuning in. Podcast of the program, will be posted on my website by Monday evening, and I hope you'll tune in there if you haven't heard the program in its entirety. And we'll be back next Saturday from 11 till noon. And thank you so much to Jared Taylor. Good job to all of you. Hope you have a great and safe week. Until next week, happy gardening.